Well, last week we looked at the promise of Jesus coming. We looked at how Jesus' arrival was promised thousands and thousands of years before he came. Even the very first man and woman had some sense that there was somebody coming that would redeem them. And we looked at how we knew that that Messiah, that Redeemer, would come through Abraham's line and David's line, and we saw how the Redeemer would be not only the Son of Man, but also the Son of God. And this morning we're going to look, as that time gets closer and closer, we're going to look at the Jesus' arrival anticipated. And, you know, it's interesting thinking about who was expecting Jesus. And in a sense, you could say the whole nation of Israel was expecting him. But who had the inside scoop? Who really knew what was going to happen? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, the time to look into your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds, and that we would see your truth, and that we would honor it, respect it, obey it, follow it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, one person who had the inside scoop was a man named Simeon. And we find this in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What an exciting thing to have the Holy Spirit say, "Hey, you have been waiting for this, you have been praying for this, and you're going to get to see the man. You're going to get to see the Christ." He didn't know when. He just knew that sometime before he died, he would see the Christ. Another man named Zacharias, he was a priest. And we see this story in Luke chapter 1. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years." So these people have been walking with God, serving in the temple, as Zacharias was a priest, and following after God, religiously devoted to serving God. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Man, what would that be like to see an angel appear before you? But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Doesn't he know those stories? Like, you know, he shouldn't be asking this question, right? He knows about Abraham. But it's natural to think, how can God do this? Doesn't he realize what he has to work with, right? We don't work anymore like that. We can't have children. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." What would that be like? To go off to work, everything's hunky-dory, serving God, get to the temple, see an angel, and then all of a sudden you can't talk anymore for 9 months. You come home. Can't talk anymore, right? Your whole world's changed. But yet, at the same time, this wonderful promise that you're going to have a son, and that that son is going to prepare the way of the Lord. Then we have Mary and Joseph. In Luke 1, 26 through 38, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What an amazing story. What an amazing circumstance. So then Mary went off to visit Elizabeth. When she got there, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John. And the Bible says that the moment Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, John in her womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth shouted out blessings to Mary, and Mary broke out into a song. You didn't know this was a musical, did you? Then we see that Joseph is told in Matthew chapter 1. It says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Could you imagine that? Could you imagine about thinking that the child that you're going to raise is the Son of God? What an amazing thing. Then we see the birth of John the Baptist, Elizabeth's child. "So it was on the eighth day after the child was born, that they came to circumcise the child, that they called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name.' And so they made signs to the father that he would what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, 'His name is John.' And so they marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. And fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all of these sayings were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all of those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, 'What kind of child will this be?' And the hand of the Lord was upon him." Now we have not only the parents of John, but now even the whole community is wondering, what does this all mean concerning this child, John? And Zacharias, being a priest, he makes a prophecy. He says this, "Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, and to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life.'" And then he turns to his little baby, and he says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, and through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." What an amazing prophecy. What an amazing event. And now they are all waiting with expectation. This little child. John is going to prepare the way, and Jesus is going to be that promised Messiah. It's pretty amazing that the greatest event in history, the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ, was really only known by a few people. Only a few people were really waiting, expecting, and knew this was the time. What an amazing thought. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we wait with anticipation for Christmas morning, the time when we celebrate your birth, your birthday, Lord, we are so grateful, joyful, and thankful for the reason that you came to this earth. Truly, you came to give us knowledge of salvation so that we could have remission of our sins. We could have forgiveness. Because your word says that when you died on that cross 33 years later, that you took all the sins of the world upon yourself, and that anyone who would call out to you and put their faith and trust in you and follow you could have forgiveness of sins, could have a fresh start, a new beginning, by simply expressing our desire to follow you and trusting and putting our hope in you, Lord. We can have the desire of nations, peace on earth, right in our own heart. It's an amazing promise. It's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing love that you have for us. What joy we have when we consider how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.